Hello, hi everyone, and welcome to Medium Lady Talks. This is a special collaboration with my guest and collaborator, Dr. Ellen Wong. We are well into the happiness framework. This is part six, N is for nature. When we think about nature contributing to happiness, we're looking to find experiences that help us integrate the universe life source to improve our mood. Life surrounds us, it's something we easily take for granted, and it actually contributes significantly to happiness. And so we're going to get into that in part six right now with Ellen. So Ellen, as I said before, often we really take nature for granted, you know, and we're transitioning into spring where we are right now. You know, the days are much longer. We had our time change last weekend. Is this a quick win for happiness? You know, just like start with the nature. Is that like a low-hanging fruit for some people? Or what are your thoughts on how we can really optimize nature as a building block for happiness?
I think it's definitely a very good low-hanging fruit to tackle. Exactly like you said, it's now spring for you and I in Ontario. That usually means sun's finally back out. It's not frigid. And we can get back outside and get some sunlight. Now, that being said, I think there's a lot of people who really love winter sports and they are able to sort of maintain that being outside in nature in the winter. I am not a fan. Are you a fan of winter sports?
No.
Yeah, me neither. So how do we mitigate that? What research has shown us is that yes, being outside is obviously the most beneficial. It's the, you know, fresh air, sunlight, all that kind of stuff. But if you're like me and Aaron and you're not necessarily a fan of being outside in the winter, you can actually bring nature indoors. And so what research has found is if you are able to decorate your surroundings, like where you work, with more plants and flowers, that also benefits us. It also feels like nature to our brain. Not exactly, but it's definitely part of it. If you're like me and you have a black thumb and you can't keep any plant or flower alive, then paintings and drawings and photographs of nature is also actually really beneficial. It's still like tapping into it. And one thing that I did before, a little project that I had at home, was that you know how you can get little pictures printed now as like little frames? There's different companies that do that, whether they're like little canvas ones or whatever, little tiles of smaller photographs turned into like painting or artwork or things you can hang. What I gave myself a challenge to do was over the summer is to go outside and take pictures of what I thought was really beautiful in nature, whether it was in the hometown or when we traveled, when we cottage, like whatever. And then I took my favorite ones and created a little artwork. And it's so easy to do now. You just upload it onto whichever service, whichever company you want to use, and they send you the prints in little canvas tiles. And it just and it's not particularly, I think, like onerous from a financial perspective. So you could do this every year. You could do this every other year. Like, you can mix them up, you can take old ones and put it back up, but you get to basically create a little mural, and it becomes more meaningful and more purposeful because those are pictures that you took.
What I'm hearing too is that it's nature, it's these living things, but it's also an acknowledgement of how much life our environment gives us, mm-hmm. whether that's our interiors. Mm-hmm. We alluded a little bit to in part five about how sometimes our spaces can contribute to a sense of inner chaos. Mm-hmm. You know, what I'm hearing from you is that like thinking about our experience in nature is also about creating an environment that nurtures happiness inside, mm-hmm. inside our own homes. Mm-hmm. If you're listening and you've been listening up until now and you've been finding maybe with the way that your life is at present or the way that world events are impacting you, that you're feeling like some of these pillars might have been hard to reach for, I think that this, again, is a really great place to potentially start. And, you know, how do you recommend people start? Like, sometimes I walk a fine line between saying, you know, I need to have things a certain way in my home, or I need to have a certain amount of money to have a nice house, or I need to have a certain amount of money to have a big house, or, you know, I have a black thumb and therefore I can't enjoy plants in my home. You know, I think there's still like a lot of limiting beliefs that get in the way between us and nature.
This is one where I would put a little tough love on this one, because I think nature is, it is such a low hanging fruit.
Yeah.
I think it's very doable. I think it's a matter of getting creative around how we do it.
Okay.
If you don't want to take pictures with your phone and you don't think you're a good photographer and you don't want to, then it's very easy to find prints. You can then support a local artist. You can support like someone online who's selling their prints. Like there's so many ways around this that I feel like it's very doable. Most of us, if you're listening to this podcast, probably have the capacity or the ability to go outside for a little bit, open the windows for fresh air. Like there's so many ways we can get in touch with nature. It is very much a low-hanging fruit. And it doesn't have to be. I used to feel this thing where I'm like, if I go for a walk, it has to also then nail the exercise part of my life. And then I have to go out for half an hour, and then to go out for half an hour and walk comfortably, I need shoes. And then I need to like, and then it just turns into this whole thing. And it became excuses. It really did, because it is an excuse to make it that complicated. It truly is. And so I started saying, okay, I'm going to eliminate all of that. And all I'm going to do is during my lunch break, I'm going to go outside and walk for 5 minutes. I'm going to walk to the end of the block and come back. And I think it's really interesting at that point to notice all the potential things that like creep into our mind as limiting beliefs and excuses. And it's like, oh, but well, what's that going to do? And oh, like, and all it's doing is getting you outside. And that's the one thing I used to say a lot to my patients is like, stop making it this like big thing that you have to accomplish. The thing you are meant to accomplish in this action is to get outside. It's not to walk 30 minutes. It's not to get to the end of the block. It's not to, like, it doesn't have to be any of those things. The point of the exercise, the point of this action is to get outside. So if you open the door and walk onto the sidewalk and turn back, you've done it. Great. Congratulations. And it comes down to that. Like sometimes it's just like, that's it. We're not training for a marathon. Like we're just trying to get outside. Don't make it a very complicated thing. And if you decide that, hey, you know what? Like, I actually do really enjoy walking. I do like going. Well, then yes, go and invest in a nice pair of shoes that feels comfortable and supportive to walk in. Like 100%. But let's just get outside first and then worry about the windproof jacket and then the, you know, like the layers and all that kind of stuff.
So actually, the outset of this episode, you said like, oh, Erin, are you into winter sports? And I thought, no, I'm not, but that doesn't preclude me from enjoying nature in the wintertime. And I do think that sometimes, I love that you said that, is we associate our getting outside with like two birds with one stone or like two for the price of one by also accomplishing our movement or fitness or goals. And then we're putting too much pressure on just how much getting outside can benefit us. I can go outside if it benefits my fitness goals or if it helps me lose 10 pounds or if it helps me achieve a public milestone like running a marathon. Going outside just for the purpose of being happy is too simple. Like we steamroll over over that first part. And so I would maybe really encourage people to really think about perhaps where your access to nature is impeded by your desire to show up for other goals related to activity and fitness. Well, we can't enjoy the winter unless we are skiers.
Right.
Or we don't like winter sports, therefore the winter is hard. And I think that in a lot of ways, it's this mindful questioning of the associated beliefs. I never really realized how much I pair getting outside with getting exercise. And if I don't really feel like getting exercise, then I don't go outside.
And so now I would say if somebody's listening to this and they fall into that, I would say then pair going outside with happiness.
Say more.
So if you have to, if you feel like you need to pair it with something, then why would pairing it be happiness be worth any less than pairing it with exercise? It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. And also, and I used to say this to patients all the time. I'm like, if you open the door and walk to the sidewalk and you walk back, that is still more movement than what you would have done, which is continue sitting in the chair. Like, it's still more movement.
Yeah.
Right? And it's still something. We don't have to accomplish big.
It's still more nature than it would. Yeah.
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 We just get in our way because we make everything so complicated, but it doesn't need to be. Like, I frankly really dislike winter sports. I don't skate. I don't ski. I don't snowboard. I don't like being cold. Like, the winter is a challenge. And also, I am challenging myself to think that, okay, well, walking around the block does not require it to be this complicated thing. I just have to bundle up. And if everything's like by the front door, then I can do it and it can be quick. I really don't like the winter. So if it's really cold and it's like minus 15, I'm not going outside. But like, there is a limit. I'm not saying
that's when you look at your collage, your photo collage.
I'm not saying I've got this all figured out and I have no excuses. Like, I still do, but I kind of draw a line. I'm like, listen, if it's like frostbite warning, then we're not going outside. And that seems reasonable. Right? But there is a lot of things we can do. And yeah, if it's that frigid and it's really not fun to be outside, then yeah, bring the nature indoors. I think there's still a lot of benefit to that.
It makes me think, I mean, we're sort of past the winter now, but I did this winter whimsy challenge, and there's episode, I think it's episode 96. I sort of break down what winter whimsy is and why I felt like it was a really important frame of mind to take when it comes to the winter. And some of the activities that I had people do during this challenge were about looking outside, thinking about visually what's beautiful about the wintertime, keeping pieces of nature close by, mm-hmm. or building sort of like a little like memento to winter in your own home, mm-hmm. and also like examining the winter without any other outcome, mm-hmm. other than just paying attention to the season that you're in, mm-hmm. and being grounded in the season, mm-hmm. and finding a sense of like balance and calm and peace and gratitude from just acknowledging where you're at instead of wanting things to be different. Mm-hmm. We could probably take the same mindset to the spring. The spring is like muddy, it's rainy. You often like cannot predict what you're going to get when you walk outside. Mm-hmm. It definitely, we're appreciating the light, but it's not quite like beautiful with flowers yet. Yeah. And there's like, you know, sticks and mud puddles everywhere. I mean, I have three sons. It's definitely a kid's dream, you know, if you've got them in rain boots, or if you don't have them in rain boots, quite frankly, like it's not really a huge barrier for my youngest child especially. But I do think it's about mindset, because then I'm like, oh, I have to walk the dog, his feet are going to be so dirty, mm-hmm. you know, like we're so easily programmed into why we shouldn't change, or why we shouldn't, even with nature, even with something like that. So I appreciate you saying tough love. That's not something that I often lean into here on Medium Lady, but I think there's an opportunity when something is really easy and we still find ourselves making excuses to not do the easy mm-hmm. thing. It's like, why are you getting in your way like that? Cut it out.
I do want to say something. Like, you brought up a really good point, because I could picture that, like having three boys, their shoes are all muddy, their pants are all muddy, their jackets are all muddy. Now the dog's all muddy and there's like all this stuff to clean. I kind mm-hmm. of wonder if in those situations, because it is actually going to take more time to clean up. Like, let's not kid ourselves, right? Like, it would be lying and being like completely in denial if I didn't, like, if that process of cleaning up when you come home is going to take longer. Then I kind of wonder, like, if we took that opportunity to then, again, back to what I keep saying is like slowing down around it, then this is just part of going outside. And maybe because it takes more time to come back and clean up, then something else on that to-do list that is less important at this point gets dropped, mm-hmm. and it's okay. Like, it's just one of those where like we kind of, right, we jam it all in. We're like, oh, then we have to add cleanup on top of all the things. Well, then maybe we can let go of some of these other things because it's more important that we get outside and play.
Yeah. And the cleanup will be okay because we'll have nurtured our happiness. Mm-hmm. It does sometimes. It's a chicken or an egg kind of thing. It's like, if I go outside, I'll feel happier, and then I'll clean up. But because I've already given back to myself, is there a possibility that that cleanup might actually be a happy byproduct mm-hmm. of my choice to invest in my happiness? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of the time when we're going outside, when the weather is less than ideal, as moms especially, we're doing it for the kids.
Right.
you know, you've had those days when there was a little too much screen time, a little too much inside, and you're like, we've all got to go outside. Mm-hmm. We've just all got to do it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we do it for them, but then we're cleaning up for them, mm-hmm. and we're getting them dressed for them. And then it's less as well about filling our own buckets. But sometimes that's just a mindset shift. Mm-hmm. That's just saying, I'm doing this with you for me and for you, mm-hmm. and I'm going to benefit from it too. Mm-hmm. Hopefully. I mean, sometimes then you find yourself screaming in the middle of the walk, like, I should be enjoying this too, you know? just like, sometimes when things go off the rails. Okay. So that is N is for nature. And we'd love to know from you, considering this is a low-hanging fruit in the context of happiness, you know, what are you going to do today to get yourself in touch with a dose of nature as a building block for your happiness foundation within your life? I want to encourage you to download Ellen's Happiness Guide, which is linked in the show notes. If you want more of the 21 Days of Gratitude Challenge, it's all on Instagram. You're going to need to follow me. I'm at medium.lady. And you're also going to need to follow Ellen, who is at Dr. Ellen Wong. You can benefit from the connections, community, and prompts that are happening over there. We still have a few more days left in the challenge, so we hope that you will go ahead and join us. This has been part 6. It's N is for nature. Next episode coming up, we're going to talk about the letter E. We're going to do a bit of a pivot into our emotional resiliency. Bye.